Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Following what Panchatantra Prabhu was speaking about, there it is. Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the mornings, while I've been visiting here, we've been reading from the fifth chapter of the first canto. In this fifth chapter, Narada is instructing Vyas about the necessity to compose one additional literature to add to all the entire literatures that make up the Vedas. According to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, one of the foremost and principal of the Upanishads, the empowered literary incarnation of the Lord, Veda Vyas, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, divided the original one Veda into not only four, the classical understanding that we have from the academicians is that the Vedas means the four Vedas. Rig Sama Yajur and Atharva Veda. According to the Upanishads of those four Vedas, the compiling of the Vedas was not just those four, but also the Puranas and the Itihasas from the same body, original body of verses. So, in other words, see if you can catch what I'm trying to say here. I'll try one more time. The Puranas, which are considered Smriti, and the four Vedas, which are considered Shruti, according to the Shrutis, are from the same original body of Veda that Vyasadeva divided. And so, the Smritis and the Shrutis are equally Vedic. Scholars say this is the Vedas and then this is something modern. The Vedas are the four Vedas over here and the Smritis are current literatures written by modern people who are describing the Vedas. The Shrutis say differently. The Shrutis say, Vyas, when he divided the Vedas, divided them in these different categories, Shruti and Smriti, from the original one body of unwritten sound vibration form literatures. And within those, both the Shrutis and all of the Smritis, they describe this Bhagavat Purana as the emperor, the chief amongst all of them. So when Vyas divided the Vedas into four and explained them via the Smritis, and he compiled Vedanta Sutra, he felt that this Itihasa literature also includes the Mahabharata. So we're just hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Certainly that expresses the most confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But the entire body of the Vedic literature proportionately gives so much information on how to fulfill material desire while connecting with offerings to the Supreme at the same time, and not sufficiently simply glorifying the personality of Godhead. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature. So now I'm going to read one verse and the purport, where Narada is instructing Vyas specifically, compose this Srimad Bhagavatam. Compose one literature that doesn't dharma protika kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam. It doesn't address the kaitava dharma, or those principles that lead to further involvement in material affairs, albeit or although with gradual elevation, but it specifically and exclusively is paradharma. It focuses on the supreme occupation of the living being. So this is from the fifth chapter of the first canto. Narada instructs his disciple Vyasadeva, O Brahmana Vyas, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Eta sumsuchitam brahmans tapa traya chikshitam yad ishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bravatam. Sri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. During this visit, I tried to make a focused effort on doing that. When we, just like yesterday evening, hearing the Shamantaka Jewel story, it's very easy for the mind to be captured by Krishna's wonderful activities. And while hearing the wonderful activities of Krishna, while it's pleasing to the ear and soothing to the heart, what is it doing for one spiritually? In other words, the rigors of the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, someone was describing this to me the other day, about a couple of weeks ago, that I have a hard time studying Bhagavad Gita regularly because it's the philosophy is so strong, it's hard to absorb my mind. So when one hears the narrations of Krishna's wonderful pastimes, it's not that the philosophy is absent. The philosophy is the basis or support of being able to understand the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. But by hearing the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, here Prabhupada is writing that it's the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief of all the miseries of life, just to hear the pastimes of Krishna narrated in a proper manner. Now there's the preliminary, just like Panchatattva was explaining, the preliminary understanding of the earlier cantos, as we're reading from the first canto of Bhagavatam, in simple language is to understand what's what. What's up with Krishna? Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means to understand the knowledge of the relationship with Krishna. Then when we hear the activities of Krishna, we don't think of those activities as ordinary, but the exhibition of Krishna's wonderful potencies. just like in the Shamantaka jewel story, for example. When Akrura left Dwaraka, Dwaraka became disturbed by unnatural kinds of material elements, disease, drought, unrest of the citizens, things that you don't find when the Supreme Lord is present. Because wherever Krishna is there, he's the reservoir of all auspiciousness, so one would expect in Dwaraka everything would be just like Vaikuntha, like the spiritual world. But there was disturbance. That was created by Krishna himself. Now, without understanding Krishna's position, then how do we understand something like that happening? Even the ministers of Krishna were thinking that it was because of Krura, the son of Shvapalka, whose very presence changed a drought and famine in Benares into a well-balanced situation. Rainfalls came, the drought was over, everything was fine. My point is, Krishna can adjust anything by his own spiritual potencies. Or as we heard this morning, just by the touch of Krishna's fingertips, the head of the washerman was severed by the touch of one finger from each hand below the chin of Kubja. Kubja's body became straightened. The hunchback became a straight and very beautiful girl. So there's transcendental potencies in the body of Sri Krishna, which if one hasn't properly understood the earlier cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, one will take in a fanciful way, an imaginative way. But if one understands the fact that the personality of God has unlimited and inconceivable potencies from proper studying of the earlier cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, then hearing the 10th canto narrations become very, very relishable. Krishna is simply exhibiting his divine potencies in very, very wonderful and all attractive ways, simply delighting his devotees. Prabhupada goes on, foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances, and in relation to other living beings. This is the threefold miseries, adhyatmaka, adhidaivaka, and adhibhautika kleshas. So, his statement is, without spiritual knowledge, persons are very busy counteracting those difficulties, not knowing what's the cause behind those difficulties. The cause behind those difficulties is their implication in the laws of material nature due to their karmic activities, their activities of forgetfulness of the Supreme. So those forgetfulness of the Supreme activities are counteracting the miseries of being forgetful of the Supreme. There's no end to it. It's not the solution. As Prabhupada would say, while there is great pride in the advancement of medical science, where's that medical science that has eliminated disease? Meaning, the elimination of disease is eliminating the material condition of life, not improvement of material science. The solution to disease is no more birth and death. And then, if there's no more birth, there's no more disease. That's the solution. It's a spiritual solution. The but the counteraction of material problems by a series of material adjustments is no solution. That's considered advancement of knowledge. The Bhagavatam considers advancement of knowledge finishing all disease, finishing all death, finishing all repeated birth, and no more aging either. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshana Darshana. Those are the real problems of life, and they can be solved in a permanent way. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada is advising Vyas, write one literature that brings a permanent solution to mitigate all problems of material existence permanently. The whole world is struggling very hard to exit out of these material miseries. But men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or no remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. The remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. To cross the river or the ocean by a suitable boat is no remedial measure if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles on the path of success. The Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities unto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything to the service of the Lord. Then Prabhupada goes in a very interesting direction. That is, the consideration is not what occupation you have, nor is advancement that you give up your occupation and you become a renunciate, sannyasi. That's not the Lord's consideration. The consideration is whatever it is that you have, it's properly dedicated unto the Supreme. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Here's a plea. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry Him and try to become like Him, or take His position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Fight for the cause of the Lord, as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight. But when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, industrialist, agriculturalist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which one has accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Narayan and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in the case of the absence of such opportunity, meaning one is too much attached to working hard in the world and not able to peacefully simply hear about the glories of the Supreme Lord. One should then try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has specific attraction, and that is the way of peace and prosperity. Just three more sentences, ends this nice purport. The word samsuchitam in this stanza is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word samsuchitam. Narada is making a statement here, like a summary statement of Dharma. Like Krishna makes in Bhagavad Gita. What is the summary statement that Krishna makes about Dharma in Bhagavad Gita? I don't think they heard you in the back. Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam praja aham tam sarva papebhyo mokshayami vasujaha. It's a summary statement, because within Bhagavad Gita principles of Dharma are expressed, but then Krishna states subordinate all those other principles of Dharma under one. Sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam is the principle, the central principle upon which all other principles rest or are supported. So Narada is making a similar statement here. All duties to bring into one's life the essence, Paradharma, that's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Paradharma. All activities, all virtuous, uplifting, beneficial, should be done, dutiful activities are to be subordinated to this one principle. They should all be dedicated unto the loving service of the personality of Godhead. When that is accomplished, as we were hearing Prabhupada explain in the purport, the ultimate fruit is experienced by that practitioner. The ultimate fruit, apavarga, dharmasya, he apavargasya, nartotayopakalpate. The purpose of Dharma is never to be considered for artha, for economic development, for prosperity and material well-being. The motivation behind Dharma should be only apavarga, achieving liberation from this material condition of life. And so Narada is giving us that formula. Dedication of all things unto the personality of Godhead. Just like our devotees are doing here, making nice vases for the deities. The horticulture business, growing flowers, people buying flowers to decorate their homes and their yards. Big industry. Landscaping industry and horticulture industry. So we like to beautify, and that take that tendency of taking the beautiful flowers and fragrant flowers of nature to make something beautiful and use that for decorating the altar of the Supreme Lord. For example, take all wonderful things, all things that we're naturally attracted to and to do, direct them for the service of the personality of Godhead. Certainly that message is critical for householders. Otherwise there's this total dilemma. How can you be a spiritual person and be involved in the world at the same time? It's like, you know, be schizophrenic. Become a householder, religious householder, a spiritual householder. Then you have two minds. The spiritual side of your attraction and the material side of your attraction or your necessities. Then you're in two worlds. And how those that don't understand the unifying principle, it's considered a secular religion. There's what you do for God and there's what you do for the state. And then there's separation of church and state. What you do for your family and what you do for God. They're two separate things. But the message of Bhagavatam and the message of Bhagavad Gita is not that. It's the unifying principle. It's that everything is those things that are directly hearing and chanting and direct devotional practice and activity, and those things that are of this world, both are for service to the Supreme. Hare Krishna. So you've had two classes tonight, more than you bargained for, right? Came for one, you got two. This is a very generous temple. I was late because, for several reasons, but one prominent reason, there's a member of this temple that has a brain tumor, cancerous brain tumor, and they're in a very serious condition. So I went to visit their home. Came a little late, sorry for that. Any questions or topics that you'd like to have some discussion about? Yes.
About 1 month ago, this Terry Spy, was her name? This woman who was in a coma for many years.
Yeah.
And I said to co-workers at the work that it's better, you know, she leaves this body. Based on our scriptures and all, so they thought I'm not a religious person and I'm really kind of crazy to stop like this. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, you're not crazy to talk like that. I'll just keep it real simple. And Prabhupada, when he came to America, he had a heart attack. Two heart attacks on the boat that he was traveling on, and when he, after being in America for some time, a year and a half, something like that, he had another heart attack, and he was taken to the in New York. So he was taken to the New Jersey shore for rest. Very enthusiastic young boy back there. Non-stop enthusiasm. What he told the devotees is, no matter what happens, don't let them put me under tubes and life support systems. He was emphatic about it. Even if they insist, even if the doctors insist, don't let it happen. He said that one of his godbrothers, Sannyas godbrothers, had something like that happen. And it's not what he wanted, but the doctors insisted, and there was no one to say no. And so Prabhupada explained that whatever consciousness you're in at the time of death is the determining factor of where your destination will be after this life. So what Prabhupada explained is his life support system essentially reduced him to the consciousness to a very dull state of consciousness or limited state of consciousness, like a vegetable. And with that he left his body. So Prabhupada said, whatever you do, don't let them do that to me. So, you know, that's in Prabhupada's case where he had enormous faith in Krishna. And not everybody has enormous faith in God, like Prabhupada has, or like we're finding meeting the final days of his life. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, an incredible example of very, very strong Krishna consciousness. But the what is the use? Anyway, if those persons were here, they would most likely still object to anything that I'm going to say. But it's just, what's the use of sustaining the symptoms of the body when consciousness is practically gone? What's the great achievement? What benefit are you doing for the soul? The benefit for the soul should be increasing the consciousness of that soul, directing the consciousness of the soul to the Supreme. That can be done even in a very weak condition, just by allowing the soul to hear spiritual sound vibrations. That's where our attention should go for a soul that's getting ready to give up the body. That's the welfare of the soul.
So if one has a cancer, let's say, and one goes through a lot of chemotherapy to prolong the life, but ultimately most times it is a fed up. So one should go through those things or not? From what you are telling me, it sounds like we shouldn't.
It depends. I mean, there's we have one physician in our midst. This is his field of professional work, right? This is your specialty. I mean, the practical example is one of Prabhupada's disciples, Pragosh. Right around the same time as Bhakti Tirtha Swami was diagnosed with his cancer, Pragosh was diagnosed with a very acute stage of cancer all through his chest and so on and so on. Can something be done with the child that's making all that noise? So he went and got chemotherapy and all of those other forms of, I don't know all what all the treatments were, and he's back on his feet. He's in New York, lively, still working to take care of his family and children, strong, healthy, happy, and it was very effective. He has to be very careful, do this, drink that, don't do this, get sufficient rest, and you know, he has recommendations from the doctor. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami didn't take those treatments. He went a different route and his life just had to go out. So, I wouldn't make a statement saying one shouldn't do those things. And I wouldn't make a statement saying one definitely should go through those things. During Prabhupada's time, Jayananda, picture you have, he took some preliminary treatment. It was very clear that it was not going to be effective, and then he just let go. So it's a judgment call depending on the circumstances. It's not that one shouldn't do necessary things to take care of one's health, but the other question, the first question is the life support systems that just maintain the life symptoms. When as soon as the plug is pulled, the artificial life system supports are gone. And when one's consciousness is drastically reduced. Anything else? Okay. Been a long evening, huh? Thank you very much for coming. Srila Prabhupada,
Ki Jai. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.